I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound his word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. We are looking through the book of Acts, taking it passage by passage, verse by verse, section by section, looking at what God's word says to us. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, if you would turn there this morning. For those that have been either tuned out, you've been here, but maybe you've been tuned out, or if this is your first time to Northmark Church, or you are away, let me kind of catch us up to speed to where we are and fill us in on the context. Context is important, friends. Chapter 3, a 40-year-old crippled man, quite possibly crippled for the majority of his life, was healed by Peter and John through the power of Jesus, but healed through the work of Peter and John. In chapter 4, Peter and John are questioned by the authorities and by the leaders and religious people about this healing. And the religious leaders wanted to know whether this healing was legit and where their authority and where the power came from. And so they questioned them. And Peter and John quickly deflected the credit and the glory back to God. Look what they said in chapter 4 right here. It says, "For we cannot help," in verse 20, "speaking about what we have seen and heard." So their question about the validity of the work and the where their authority came from, and they come back and they fire this remark at their authorities. "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Something was burning inside the hearts and the bones and the souls of Peter and John. Their passion was so real and so palpable that they were unable to remain silent. It drove them to speak of this Jesus. It drove them to action. They were unable to remain silent. And friends, if you find yourself feeling unmotivated in your faith, you know who you are. If you find yourself feeling unmoved when it comes to worship, or when it comes to action and doing something for the Lord Jesus, let me encourage you, instead of trying to manufacture something else like a circus, ask the Lord for more faith. Ask the Lord for more boldness. Ask the Lord for more passion. Pray for more of God's Spirit to work in your life. Pray for the things of this world that can so easily clutter our lives and crowd out the Spirit's calling and voice and movement. Pray that those things, those distractions, would be eliminated. You see, when the Spirit of God works in our life, and you experience Him working through you and in you, you won't be able to remain silent. It won't be an option for you or I. Your excitement will increase, your passion will increase, and you won't be able to stay quiet about what we have seen and heard. Amen. And this brings us to our text in chapter 4, verse 23. And our big idea this morning, pray boldly. Pray boldly. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Follow along with me. It says, "On their release," remember, they were questioned by the authorities, by the religious leaders. On the release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Notice that Peter and John went back to their own people. He's not describing relatives here or close relatives, family. This is talking about the people of God. This is talking about the local church. When they felt pressed, when the gospel was being opposed, when their message was being thought of as foolish, they went back to their own people. They went back to fellow Christians. and they shared their persecution with other believers. They didn't turn to a psychologist, a doctor, a Christian book, a website, a webinar, a counselor. They went back to their own people. Do you see this? They went back to their local church friends, their comrades, fellow Christians, followers of Christ, and they said, "We need you to pray." In verse 24, notice what it says. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices. So when the Christians heard all that was happening, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Together. There's something to be said when Christians get together and pray. Bible says, pray without ceasing, pray all the time, pray as you go, pray by yourself. But there's something to be said about getting a group of people together and praying together. Friends, I want to stop right here because verse 23 and 24 have huge implications for our lives in light of this passage. If you feel pressed or overwhelmed, if you feel stuck in sin, if you feel like there's something, your back is against the wall in your life, there's a family challenge, your marriage is limping, barely limping, let me call you back to this early church principle. Gather other Christians to pray with you. You circle the wagons and you come back and you talk to God with others about your problems. I admit that we need God. We humble ourselves. We recognize that He's in control and we're not. And we admit to others that we need prayer. We become vulnerable and we become authentic. And for some of you here, that might be a difficult thing. And so you need to pray for more authenticity and vulnerability. And then you invite others into your circle of prayer. You enlarge your circle. You get your growth group praying. You get your ladies' study praying. You get people praying beside you that sit with you on Sunday mornings. You get your men's group praying. You get the volunteers you serve with in a ministry praying. You get your family praying. You get the people of God praying. When you feel oppressed and you feel discouraged, and instead of wallowing in that disappointment, you call on others who call on the name of Jesus, and you get them to pray. Second observation about this passage is that the believers prayed for boldness. Believers prayed for boldness. Look in verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord." This is a corporate prayer starting in verse 24, and in the middle of it, it's like they stop and they lay out their petition. And they say in verse 29, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Friends, the early Christians prayed for boldness because of the obstacles they faced, because of the opposition that people were giving towards their message, which was the gospel. They were facing pressure from government and civic leaders. And we must take their cue from the early church, and we must pray as well. Because if we haven't already, there will come a time when we too will be persecuted. Our message, maybe not us, but the message that we carry as followers of Christ, we will experience opposition. And we must take our stand and pray boldly. Even short of persecution, it's becoming increasingly difficult in our world and in our culture to follow Jesus, isn't it? Thank you, Gil. Our schools rarely want to partner with the local church. I can remember a time when school activities didn't exist on Wednesday. Wednesday nights was reserved for family and for the local church and for kids' ministries and youth ministries and prayer gatherings. And now I find my children got their sports activities and practices and events and games on Wednesday. The church has been crowded out. It's becoming increasingly difficult to partner with local schools. We have to must be creative as the local church and creative as followers of Christ is to find ways and find inroads into our schools. The entertainment industry is bombarding us with inappropriate TV and music and media messages, and they make us numb to spiritual things. So it becomes hard to hear the Spirit of God's voice because of all the media that is just ringing around in our heads. The medical field is advancing so fast and moving at such a rapid rate that people seldom think of asking God for help. Bold prayers honor God. Mark Batterson says this. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Let me say it again. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. If you're overwhelmed in a circumstance, talk to God. If you're feeling a financial pinch, talk to the Lord. If you're feeling overwhelmed with a family challenge or a family crisis, or your marriage is on the last ditch effort, talk to God. If you have a wayward son or daughter that wants nothing to do with the gospel and with Jesus and with the church, talk to God. Talk to God and talk boldly to God and ask Him and seek Him, because He is a God who answers us. When my children ask me for something, sometimes the answer is no. They love Dairy Queen blizzards. And so when they say, Dad, I want a blizzard, 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 Dad, 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 I want a blizzard, Dad, I want a blizzard, Dad, I want a blizzard, I can't say no to my wife. But my kids, they'll get the no. But eventually, if they keep knocking and asking over and over, I'm like, all right, here's your blizzard. How much more, friends, how much more is God, who's rich in mercy, slow to anger, a generous and benevolent God, the most loving entity, the most loving person you could possibly imagine. How much more does He long to give us good things? Does He long to give us that blizzard? And He's not this God that says, you can wait on that blizzard. You can hold off on that blizzard. Now, it is important to note that we don't always get what we want. God isn't a convenience store where you just say, I want this, I want that. But God will always give us what we need. He'll always give us what we need. But sometimes we have to knock a little louder. We have to knock a little more persistently. And some of us are in circumstances where we just have to keep knocking. Is it going to give you or give I what we want? No, but it's always what we need. And that is conformity into the person of Jesus Christ. Because He's interested that Paul and each of us look more like Jesus than ourself. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. We got to keep asking. We got to keep seeking. We got to keep knocking. When you don't think the answer is there, keep doing it. Because we have a God that hears us. We have a God who listens. And He's aware. In verse 25 and 26, there's an Old Testament prophecy which shared in their prayer. It comes from the book of Psalms, the first two verses of chapter Psalms 21, I believe. And it says this, Psalm 2. And it says this, it says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then here's the prophecy. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? That word nations is talking about Gentiles. The word peoples is referring to Jewish population. It says, verse 26, the kings of the earth will take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord. The kings referred to back in the book of Psalms into people like Herod and the rulers like Pontius Pilate, that they were coming against God's anointed one. In a preliminary sense, Peter and John saw the opposition to the gospel and opposition to the Messiah as a fulfillment to this prophecy, which was stated earlier hundreds of years. And God is weaving that into their heart cry. I'd like for us to pause a moment and look at this text and look at how Peter addressed and how the crowd addressed the Lord. In verse 24, it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said. Sovereign Lord. This liturgical address or way of addressing God was often common through the pages of Scripture. And from Genesis all the way through the Bible, we see God as with the name Lord, and often with the phrase sovereign or the name sovereign Lord attached to it. And they're saying right here that even though in verse 24, even though the gospel's being opposed, even though people are coming against Peter and John and the early church, that God is still sovereign. And we must remind ourselves of this morning. God is a God who is fully aware, fully awake. He never sleeps. He's on the throne, and he's worthy of our full attention and our full allegiance. Because God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It may not feel like he knows what he's doing, but God does know what he's doing. He's in control. Listen to this, friends. Listen, there is no one with more power and more authority than God himself. So our circumstances may look dim. Our diagnosis and our prognosis may look bleak. Your son or daughter may want nothing to do with the Lord. People in your school may be bullying you. This doesn't change the fact that God is unaware. God is still aware of all of those points of pain and points of frustration. God is aware of each of us and what is happening in our lives, and we need to remind ourselves that he's entirely faithful and completely true and always sovereign. And nothing that happens in our life catches the Lord off guard. He is in control. Say it with me. He's in control. We need to be reminded of this truth this morning. The last observation on this passage is that God answers prayer. So not only do we need to pray with other people, not only do we need to pray boldly, but God answers prayer. Look in verse 31. It says, after they prayed. Notice, after they prayed. The place where they're meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and spoke the word of God boldly. If you and I earnestly and patiently seek the Lord, I want to assure you that he hears our prayers. Remember, we won't always get what we want, but he'll always give us what we need, because God has our best interest always in mind. It's remarkable that these Christians in this prayer, in the first part of the prayer, actually two-thirds of the prayer, they remind themselves of who God is. And then at the end, in verse 28 and 29, they ask God for what they want. And sometimes we get that reversed. We spend the majority of our time petitioning God, asking God, crying out for God, and sometimes using him like a laundry list of things, a honey-do list. Instead of saying, God is faithful, God is holy, God is good, God is perfect, God, you are faithful, you're slow to anger, like what we did here earlier this morning, and then we lay out our petition. We have much to learn from the pattern of prayer of this early church. If they ascribed to Lord his worth over and over, and then they took a little bit of time and said, and God, would you please do this for me? I intercede on behalf of my friends. You see, God doesn't need to be told who he is. God knows who he is, but we need to remind ourselves who he is. Because we live in a world that is so contrary to the message of the Lord. so contrary to the gospel, we constantly have to remind ourselves and train our mind and renew our mind that he's good and he's for us. Amen. Look at what the Bible, what happens in verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they're meeting was shaken. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's easy and pray for a miracle or the effect or the answer. But instead, what we really need is God's Spirit to fill our lives. We need the presence of God in our life. I need the presence of God in my life more than answers for my prayers. I mean, I need the movement of God in my life more than the things that I think I need for my life. You could see through this passage that the people of God joined Peter and John. They circled their wagons, and they prayed for more of the Holy Spirit, for more of his boldness, which he would give to them in the face of persecution and opposition to the precious message, which was the gospel. The early church had a high value on communing with the Lord. There was a high value on the early church being close and being intimate and being tight with the Lord Jesus, spending time with Christ and learning to be intimate with him. And we too have an opportunity and a privilege of being intimate with our Lord, to remember all that he did and all that he is, to reflect on the cross of Christ and the fact that everything that happened at the cross that day, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed for us, it's enough. And we reflect and remember and we recall those things and those truths and we celebrate it. And that's communion. And that breeds intimacy as we continually remember these things. And we have to tell ourselves over and over, the God who sent his only son to die on a cross for me and for you, he's enough for my problem and for my challenges and enough for my sin. And if you're here and you've placed your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus has become the object of your faith. He is the person that you rely your hope, put your hope in. Then you are welcome to take communion. But if you're here and it's like I'm talking another language, a foreign language to you, and you're bored, you have no idea what we're talking about, you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you don't know what forgiveness of your sins is like, you go to bed at night and you're conflicted in your mind because there's no peace, God is calling your name today. God's reaching out for you today. And I implore, I encourage you to seek his forgiveness and seek his hope and seek Jesus, because he's the only one that can give you what you really, really need. You and I don't need another counselor. We don't need another book. We need Jesus to give us exactly what we need, forgiveness and peace with God for all of eternity. And you are more than welcome to make that transaction of faith and reach out to a holy God and say, I need you, God, more than I need myself. And I trust you to do in my life what only you can do. And if you do that, you're welcome to take communion with us, because we're remembering and recalling and reflecting on all that he did. As our men come and to serve us, I want to encourage you, to bow your head and just take a moment and just analyze yourself. Look at your own heart. Don't look at the person beside you. Don't look at your spouse. Look at your own heart. Is there an area of your life where you need to just hand something over to the Lord Jesus? Is you have a clogged spiritual arteries or something between you and God that isn't right? Now's the time. Lord, we come to you as needy people. We admit we have needs. We're not afraid to admit our needs. We are broken. We are problem-filled people prone to wander. And I pray that you take us to a place this morning where we see you for who you really are, a loving God, a God of second chances, a God who gave the ultimate antidote for our sin, forgiveness through the blood and the death of your body, Lord Jesus. We remember that this morning. Help us celebrate you. Help us to be thankful and filled with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.